Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good week. We're midway through, and it is another Wednesday night. And as most, pretty much, I might have skipped one Wednesday, maybe two. But last year, almost every Wednesday night, we've had a sermon. I encourage you guys to check the archives out. There's a ton of sermons on there. Of course, the sermons are led by God. But I just love to teach and preach the Word of God. And to have this platform to do this on the website is a blessing. And as always, you guys can contact me through Facebook. If you're not familiar with MeWe, it's kind of like a social platform. There's something out there called Social Cross. It's kind of it's been around for a little bit, but it's not, it's still got like bugs in it, but it's still a pretty good platform. And of course, Facebook. And of course, you can send me an email through this website. You know, we're fastly approaching Easter. That is Resurrection Sunday, right? And when we use this word Easter, we can really get bound down a little bit. There will always be somebody around this time of the year on Facebook posting how Easter is pagan. And it is. But if you guys have been following me for a while, you know I don't celebrate pagan holidays, period. But I do believe taking pagan holidays from the enemy, from Satan, from his demons, and pointing that day to Jesus, and of course, that is Resurrection Sunday, and that is truly what it is all about. Just not one day out of a week or out of a year to celebrate the resurrection of our Christ. He is risen, period. It we should carry that in our hearts all through the year, not one day. To me, that's, you know, you can get all pagan, so I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. But then the rest of the year, you walk more in the flesh and less in the spirit. You look more like a devil with a Christian label on you. Yeah, you got more issues than worrying about one day called Easter. Better check yourself and see what spirit you're operating in. Does your life every day reflect a change, a regeneration in your being? You are now no longer, you're old, you are new. You are, all things are new in Christ, right? We're born again. We don't have that passion, that desire to walk according to this world. No, we have the passion and the desire to reach this world with the gospel in our life, being an offering, not just to be, to make a name for ourselves, but to show the world who we serve. And Easter's just another day to do that. Of course, that's not what the sermon's going to be about tonight. I kind of went on a rant there. It just really rattles me. Not really rattles, but ruffles my feathers. Because, you know, I live in the real world. I have a secular job. I work 40 hours a week. And I see the hypocrisy. People claiming to be something they're not. Their lives are totally opposite of what they're professing. Yes, we will lose our temper, and yes, we will have words, and that's flesh. But the thing is, does that con- is that mainly seen every day? Does that attitude and that behavior, is that every day? Yeah, we can have bad days and we can get in arguments with our coworkers and us. And me, I'm more of a, if you guys know me in person, or I'm more of a fighter than a flighter. You know, you have that response, you fight or flight, some run to the door. I run straight to the fight. I may just have a stick, but I'm coming for you. And that's not always necessarily a good thing. I believe that's why God has chosen me, because I don't back down. I will not back down to this world. I will not back down to the demonic forces that are controlling this world. If there's one soul to be saved in that fire, I will reach in. No thought of myself to pull them out. And I pray that you guys are the same way. But what I really want to hit on tonight is storms. Storms. Here in Louisiana, we've had our share of storms. You may be in another state that have experienced hurricanes and tornadoes, and you know how devastating they are. Physical storms. And the scripture reading that I would like us to look at tonight is Mark 4, 36 to 41. That's Mark 4, 36 to 41. I preached on these set of passages before, but really, I don't know, somebody needs to hear it. So, and when they have sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. It was retaining water. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him, said unto him, Master, cure thy not that we perish. He rose, he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight, thanking you for another opportunity, Lord, to reach for you, to find that comfort in your presence, to know that we are not alone, know that we have that hope. You will never abandon us. You will keep us. We can break that fellowship with you by living in sin. So let's repent of the sin that we may have in our life, so we can have that close fellowship with you, Jesus. Lord, give us strength as we walk through tomorrow. Lord, give us strength to endure the challenges that tomorrow face. With our heads lifted up and our eyes, while we are in the valley, our eyes up to the mountain, because that's where our help comes from. Our help comes from you, not us. If we're left to our own device, we would destroy ourselves. You are the security. You are the rock. Within that, we lay everything on that rock, and we push forward, anchoring our souls in the truth of the gospel, knowing whatever may hit us, we can lean on you, and you will give us strength to endure, and you will give us that passion, the desire to stand against the odds, to proclaim a gospel to a world that does not want to hear a true gospel. A true message. They don't want to hear about their sin or sins. They want a gospel that is of the world. The gospel that makes them feel warm and fuzzy inside, centered on emotion. No, the true gospel is real. The true gospel will shake you to your core. The true gospel will let you look at yourself, who you really are, a sinful person in need of a Savior. Every day we are sinful, but our hearts are ripped out every time we sin, because sin breaks God's heart, and we should grieve when we sin. We should seek a holy God and righteous God that sent His Son down here to die for our sins, to show us a better way, to tell us we cannot do it on our own, that we need the Holy Spirit in our life to guide us and direct us and to beat us when we're when we get out of line. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I pray that You be with me as I give this message, that the words I speak are the words that You need somebody out there that needs to hear it. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, here is the disciples. And they are in a ship. And now you can go to Google or wherever your search engine. You can look at these vessels that they believe they were in, and they through archaeology, which is cool. I love archaeology, right? And there you can see these ships, and that. But pretty much, this ship, or we could say a boat, think of as a delivery truck, as long as a delivery truck, like a UPS maybe. But and wide as your typical bass boat. See, this was not a very large vessel. It was not a large boat. And they were all packed in there. And a storm comes. Now, in verse 37, it says, a great storm. I believe when these words are penned, a great storm, I believe this storm was beyond what we could imagine. You see, these guys, these disciples, some were fishermen. They experienced storms within a boat. But this was a great storm. And looking at the response, I want to believe that they probably never encounter a storm like this. A storm that was on them. And it says in 37, it rose a great storm. And it says the wind and the waves, they beat into the ship or the boat. So it was full. So the waves, it was causing so much wind that if you ever been on a boat, or if you've been at the ocean, you can see the waves. And if you watch surfing movies, and or you just watch documentaries on the ocean, or storms in the ocean, you will see that a ocean can create, through the wind, massive waves. But these waves were enough to feel or start feeling this vessel, this boat. They were afraid. The disciples, they were afraid. When they're scratching their heads and trying to figure out, what do we do? And they start looking around for Jesus, because that was their safe haven. He's over there sleeping. You know they were confused, because the storm was great, and they fear they would perish. What was going through their minds? What were they feeling? Can you think abandonness? That spirit of fear. Maybe hopelessness. You see, with this physical storm, they were experiencing a spiritual storm. But I want to tell you today, if you're a child of God, you are not alone. When we are going through these storms, these physical storms in life that create spiritual storms within us, it could be the grief, the loss of a love, the depression, the anxiety. Man, that has skyrocketed last year, and it hasn't slowed down. You can see the maybe thoughts of suicide, and the suicide rates have increased exponentially last year, and I don't see them slacking up this year. The addiction, that prison you're in, that drug addiction, that pornographic addiction, maybe that food addiction. Feelings of doubt, maybe feelings of unbelief. A broken marriage, a broken family. Oh, how Satan is, and his demons are destroying the family. It's been going on before I was even born. It's sad. It could be that unplanned pregnancy. It wasn't planned. Now you may be thinking about aborting that child, killing your child. Maybe it's a physical illness tonight that is plaguing you. God can heal you. Whatever you're going through tonight, we should be reminded. It can be easy to forget, right? I know I have to remind myself a lot. God will not abandon his children. God will not create a spirit of fear in his children. And God will not leave his children hopeless. Those are kind of 3 points we're going to try to hit on tonight. You know, when we look at the in this account, Mark's historical accurate account of this great storm and this wind. You know, it was so aggressive, right? And the ship was full of water and the disciples are freaking out. Can you imagine being in a boat in the middle of a lake, a river, maybe an ocean, when a great storm, a storm that is intimidating. The sky is getting dark. And the rain starts to pour. The wind starts howling. You look up to the sky. You see the darkness. You see the flash of lightning across the sky. And the thundering roaring that appears the water shakes. In your middle of the water. Maybe you cannot relate to a boat in the middle of a great storm. Maybe you experience a storm while you're driving your car, your truck, your van, your SUV, wherever you may be driving, and you encounter a storm. And this rain is falling so fast and hard, you cannot see. It's even worse at night. It's even worse when there's hail. You already can barely see. And you hear the thunder roaring. You feel the wind shifting the vehicle. I have drove through my share of storms. And I can relate. And I believe most of us probably can relate. Driving through a storm. Some of us have to pull over to the side. And let it calm down. Keep that in mind. Try to place yourself in that boat tonight. with the disciples. Looking at this great storm, and the boat is taking in water. And there's Jesus sleeping through this storm that could have killed them. Within that physical storm, they were experiencing a spiritual storms or spiritual storms. You see, the devil and his demons, they get this. They've been playing this game for a long time with humanity. The devil has 100 doctrines in psychology, sociology, science. He and his demons can understand the sciences of this world. And they're experts at it. Cracks me up when you see these guys with PhDs, and I love learning. But I don't let my knowledge puff it up. I don't let what I know making me the authority of the matter. No, I am not the authority. Thank God I can learn. Thank God I have a mind that can retain. But God is in control. God is the one that gives the increase. I just humble my heart, as we all should. And you really want to look at it, and this is how it can play out. A storm, a physical storm. It could be the loss of a loved one. You experience that loss, and most of probably have lost somebody in our life that we really love. And it hurts. But then it starts breaking. Of course, it's a grieving process, and that's okay. We are supposed to grieve. We are supposed to cry. It's healthy, but we're not supposed to stay in that period for a long time, because that negativity brings us down. We start feeling that we are alone. We can even feel that God has abandoned us in that moment of loss. And those why questions start flooding your mind. And you become overwhelmed, right? And when we become overwhelmed, we're not thinking straight, and we react. Thought leads to action. Remember, God loves you. He cares for you. He cares about what you're going through. Do not believe the lies that the devil and the demons will try to hit you with. They will keep burying you in that hole if you let them. The goal of Satan and his demons to move you away from God as much as you will allow him to, right? They've been doing this for a while. You don't have to take my word for it. Genesis 3, 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, have God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God do know that in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. And ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. He was right there. The husband was with her. He was watching all of this. Shame on him not speaking up. Shame that men in the household don't speak up. Shame that men today don't lead the Bible studies in their home and encourage their family to seek God and to encourage their family to go to church. every time that door is open. And he did eat, as many do today. They eat of that fruit of staying home while the devil controls their family. The eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Genesis is real. They want to try to disprove Genesis. This is the fall of man. This is the curse. You see, we were supposed to live in paradise. We were supposed to live in a world where there was no pain, where there was no suffering, where there was just pleasure. And all of it's for the glory of God. And I believe, and you guys have heard me say this many times, I believe Adam and Eve were highly intelligent. Most scientists, neurobiologists or neurologists will tell you that many don't use 10% of their brain. We can't go beyond that. And you're considered highly intelligent. I believe Adam and Eve. I can't prove this, but the world was perfect. God said it was good. When he created Adam and Eve, he didn't create any handicaps. So I would see they could use 100% of their brain. But here's Satan. Cunning. Wise. In the things of the world. Was able to deceive. And of course, even Adam allowed that deception in their hearts. He starts affecting the heart, the eyes, what we see. We can see that physical storm. We can see as Eve was looking at that fruit. It looked good for food. And Satan added another thing to that. You will be like gods. That hasn't changed too much today. America wants to be a god. Not my opinion. When you look at evolution that's being taught into our schools today and been taught for a while, they want to deny that there was a created order. They want to deny that there is a God that created everything. A God that's in the Bible, not a God of some other mystic religion. A God that's biblical. A God that created this world and said it was good. They're influencing our children to believe evolution is a religion. Never don't think it isn't. And it's affecting our, well, I'm 40, almost 41 now. I don't remember as a kid it being so strongly taught when I was a child. We even still prayed in school. But now, and I know that was when it was banned, a lot of these country schools are still able to still pray. I doubt they can now. But evolution is taught as a religion to move the young minds away from God. It's all planned, right? And Satan is cunning, and he knows the ways of the world. And as that storm came on the disciples, here comes the whispers of the enemy. Look at him right there sleeping. He doesn't care about you. If he was, he would do something. But he's sleeping. He don't care. He has abandoned you. You will die. lie upon lie. You may feel abandoned tonight. But I want to tell you, if you're a child of God, those feelings of abandonment is from the enemy. Why? Matthew 11, 28, 29 says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest." Jesus will give you rest. "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest upon your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." Why do we try to carry this weight of this world on our shoulders? I'm going to tell you, our shoulders are not big enough. They cannot take the burden of this life. Life is messy. Life can hit you out of nowhere. But we as true Christians, we do not have to carry that burden. We may not understand what's going on in that moments of pain. In those moments of suffering that we're experiencing, that brings us to our knees with tears streaming from our eyes and just our hearts just so torn. Maybe it's not for us to understand. And these words can be hard. Just give it to God. Just give it to Him and He will take it. A lot of times, we don't want to. Through the pain, through the tears, through the process of grief, give it to God. Lean on the Word of God. Trust that He has a plan. You may not see it. And keep stepping forward in obedience. And I've seen it in my life. He will carry you through that situation in life that has rattled you. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, "Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." Cast them all. All of them. Cast them all to Jesus, and He will give you strength to endure whatever you're going through. Amen. Hebrews 13:5, the last part says, "For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Our God will not abandon us." Now we can, through our sins, break that fellowship and grieve the Holy Spirit. But to stay in a constant state of rebellion is not good. And you can't if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. If you're living like the world and you're okay with that, you better check yourself. See that you're in the faith. Maybe you never were in the faith, because my Bible tells me if you are a child of God, the Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you and will scourge you and chasten you to a point of obedience. That's my God. That's the God of the Bible. That's the Holy Spirit. That when you're born again, you have that Spirit that is of Jesus in you. And He will correct you. And He will guide you. And He will direct you. Amen. Thoughts of abandonment. When those thoughts start coming in, you need to recognize immediately the enemy is attacking you. He is trying to destroy you. By recognizing this attack, we're not defenseless. Ephesians 6, that whole chapter is beautiful. The armor of God, right? Check your armor. Do a Bible study on armor. Check that belt of truth, that loins girded with truth. Check your breastplate of righteousness that guards your heart. Check where your footing is. Showing your feet in the preparation in that preparation of the gospel of peace, right? The helmet of salvation. That sword of the Spirit, that word of God, that shield of faith, that active faith. When you're getting hit every which way, you have to have that faith in Jesus that He will follow through. And of course, it ends with prayer. But prayer is part of that. Prayer is important. Prayer is direct communication to God. He wants to hear from His children. Every day, every night, He's there. He wants to hear from you. Talk to Him. Walk with Him. Listen. A lot of times, we're living life so hard and fast, we're not listening. And when something hits us, it has a lot to do. We have allowed our armor to get weakened. We're the fault, not God. How is it so easy to blame God? The spirit of fear. You see, as disciples are in this boat, the spirit of fear. Another flaming arrow that Satan shoots your way. Another lie. Attacked it by the enemies. To get you in a corner where you can't even see straight. But 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us this, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, that spirit of fear, right? But a power of love and a sound mind. We need to recognize that God does not give us the spirit of fear, because the fear, that spirit of fear, will destroy our peace. It will destroy our peace. I had to pause it. My dog was squeaking his toy, but I was crazy about these little podcasts at home. But God does not give us the spirit of fear, right? He gives us power and love and sound mind. 1 John 4:18 tells us this: there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that fear is not made perfect in love. Recognize the spirit of fear is from the enemy. Is from the enemy. I was doing some research and I came across an article. I'd like to read it to you guys. Have you ever feared driving over a high bridge? If so, you're not alone. In fact, some people are so afraid of the bridges that they will drive hours out of their way to avoid them. Others try to cross but have a panic attack in the middle of the bridge and can't go on. They block traffic. Because of this, the operators of some longest and highest spans in America now offers a driving service. On request, one of the bridge attendants will get behind the wheel and drive the car over the bridge. In 1991, Michigan Timid Motus program assists 830 drivers cross the Milken Bridge, which is 5 miles long and rises 200 feet above the water. At Maryland Chesapeake Bay Bridge, which is over 4 miles long and rises 200 feet above the water, authorities took the wheel and helped 1,000 fearful motorists. Bridges aren't the only thing causing fear in people's hearts, of course. Any terrifying situation, the way you get over this paralyzing fear is to do like these motorists. Turn the wheel over to someone else. Turn the situation over to God and then trust Him. You have to cross that bridge, but you're not doing it alone. God is the one in control. God is in control, guys. Don't ever forget that. With this whole pandemic, the spirit of fear, it's crazy. I was never for shutting the churches down. Of course, I got an attack for it. But a lot of people now realizing that was a mistake. What you can do, warn people, do what they want. Now, the churches, especially in America, are having a hard time staying open. Because nobody wants to go to church. Spirit of fear, right? You don't think our God can protect us when we walk into them doors? Now, I'm not telling you guys to be crazy. It's all about the heart, right? It's about the heart position. You don't go in thinking you got it. You go in there knowing that God's got it. And you do it in the right heart set. If you can't get your heart right, then you need to be careful. Last point. Jesus will not leave us hopeless. You see, the disciples, they were full of this abandonment, full of this spirit of fear, and they were feeling hopeless. Mark 4:38 says this, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him and said unto him, Master, care thou that we perish? He rose, he rebuked the wind, and he said unto sea, Peace be still. And guess what, guys? The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said unto him, Why are ye so fearful? Why are you operating in the spirit of fear? Jesus knew exactly where their hearts were at that time. And he says, How is that ye have no faith? No faith, right? And could you imagine walking with Jesus, seeing him do great miracles and still not getting it? And the sad thing today, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us and we still don't get it. Our God can heal. Our God still is in the miracle working business. Our God can still do great things. He has not ceased to be God. We just have no faith. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? That is faith. We can't see it, but we know it's there. That's faith. It's the things hoped for. That hope is in Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus. He is the anchor of our soul. They lost, the disciples lost sight of that. And today I believe we have lost sight of that. We need to open our churches back up. We need to realize that this world is hopeless. And when we look just like this world, we're not doing them no good. We are supposed to be different. We're not supposed to blend in. We are supposed to stand on that hill as a lighthouse shining in that storm to reach whoever will see that light and come to us. But how can they come to us when we look just like them? We act just like them. You see, we are supposed to be children of God. We are supposed to have a change within our hearts. Salvation, right? For God loved the world. We know that He gave our His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear the sins of this world. To bear that original sin of Adam and Eve. And to bear all the other sins that follow throughout the Old Testament. He was that perfect sacrifice. He was born with nothing. Poor. Born in a stable or where animals were at. The smell of the animals. If you ever been in a stable or a barn, you can imagine the stench. There was no room in the inn. And we know He walked a life. When we read through this Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it's beautiful. You watch how He walked through this world. We don't have to scratch our head and try to figure out how to live a life like Christ. Open your Bibles, dust them off, and you will know, you will learn something. That salvation that was born in that manger, or we say manger. Some believe it might have been a cave, but He was born. And He died. He died on that cross. His blood was poured down for you and me. The atonement, there's power in the blood. I love that song. There's power in the blood. That wonderful blood. That powerful and that precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood. There's nothing stronger than the blood of Jesus. That atonement. We come to the cross. We recognize who we are. We lay our old life at that cross. And through the Holy Spirit that comes into our life being born again, we pick up our new life and we are supposed to walk as a disciple for Jesus. We recognize the resurrection. We recognize the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives. We recognize that we are supposed to be different. We are supposed to walk a life that is pleasing with Christ. A life that is more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. We recognize that our life should be, we should see more fruit of love, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith, and less in the works of the flesh. Our lives are supposed to be different. Yes, when we encounter storms, and I'm not immune to storms. They come. One thing I've learned, and through a lot of hard lessons, to cling more to Jesus within them storms. As the disciples were in this boat, and this great storm rose, as the water came into the boat, they're looking around for Jesus, and there He lay asleep. He wasn't worried about anything. See, Jesus created the wind. Jesus was able to heal the blind, lame walk, the demons came out, the dead, Lazarus, rise, Lazarus, rise, right? Heal the leprosy. Of course, we know he conquered the death. Conquered death. Death, oh, where is your sting? Disciples, within this physical storm, and we will have physical storms in our life that can cause spiritual storms inside. They can. If you're not careful, that depression and anxiety can cripple you. I know. I've been on that receiving end. It rocks you to your core. You don't know what to do. And the devil comes and he sees that you're weak and he starts whispering the little lies in your mind. And if you're not guarding yourself with the armor of God, you're not standing not in your might but in the might of our God, the power of His might, standing in the power of His might. When the devil's trying to hit you with all this deception as he did in the Garden of Eden. Eve looking at that tree. She looked a little bit too long. Them thoughts started running through her head. And the devil knew. What we say in the country, hook, line, sinker. He just kept feeding her lie upon lie upon lie as the disciples are in the boat and they're feeling abandonment. When they feel like that God forsake them. Jesus lay there asleep, not worried. They should have not been worried. That abandonment, the feeling of fear, that spirit of fear, how it can cripple you, how it can leave you speechless, petrified. We are not supposed to operate in the spirit of fear. We are supposed to operate in power, love, and a sound mind. That's what the scripture tells us. And when we're going through those things in life, we need to cling to scripture. Memorize scriptures. Have them where you can recite them on spot. When you start quoting scriptures and when you start combining that with prayer, there's power in that. And I'm not saying that because I don't use them. It's true because the Bible tells us, but I can tell you in my life when I do that, the enemy flees. The depression, the anxiety flees. The abandonment flees. He is right there with me. I may not understand why I'm going through something in my life. All that pain and that suffering that I'm having in my life. But I know there's a reason for the pain. I know there's a reason for the suffering. If it's just to grow me and to push me more toward the cross. And to do what God has laid in my heart to do. In the short period of time I have to do it in. And whoever will listen, I will proclaim the name of Jesus. And I will proclaim the gospel until the very end. That passion, that desire, knowing that we're not abandoned, knowing that we don't have to operate in a spirit of fear, knowing that we are not hopeless, we have the ultimate hope, that hope in Jesus Christ, having that faith to believe that He will do what He says through His scriptures, to believe on His Son, to believe that God sent His Son. To believe through His life, every word that is written in the Word of God is accurate. It has no errors. Don't let nobody tell you that the Word of God has errors. It don't. And trust me, that is creeping into churches. You don't believe me? Check it out. And I pray that you don't have a church that teaches errors in your Bible. There's no errors in the Word of God. It is truth, it is life, it is the hope that we cling to. It is that anchor when everything else is falling apart and we don't know why we're experiencing that, but we cling to the hope of a better day. We cling to the hope that one day Jesus is coming back, and I believe it's sooner than what we could even imagine, and we will no longer have to experience the suffering, the pain of this world. No, not child of God, the things that He has for us, it doesn't even compare what we're experiencing on this earth. He has a place for us. He will take all of it, all this pain, and all the suffering away. Amen. Thank God for that. And we will go home. This world is not my home. I don't want nothing to do with this world. If He called me home tonight, I would be happy. But if not, I know I'm not living for myself. I'm living for Christ. And who can see Christ through me? It's our mindset, guys. We're through the pain and through the suffering. We can say, oh, woe is me. But we need to rise above that pain. We need to rise above that depression. We need to rise above that anxiety. We need to rise above that spirit of fear. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and keep marching on to the last, to the end. Those that persevere to the end will be saved. Amen. Remember, as a child of God, don't let the enemy, Satan, his demons, fill your heads with lies. You are not abandoned. You do not have to live in that spirit of fear. And you don't have to be hopeless. As we pray, I pray that this message reaches whoever it will reach tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come tonight, thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach tonight. Lord, I just felt the Holy Spirit all over this. God, let this message reach whoever that needs to hear it tonight or in the future. I don't know. I know if it just influences one person, it encourages one person, it's all for the glory of God. I don't want the glory. I know your will be done. And I know this message will get out. And I know someone will hear this and be lifted. Let the glory and the honor be in the one who made heaven and earth, the one who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for this world. So we can come where we're at right now. Don't need to be no special event. We can come right where we're at. And we don't have to say no special prayer. We can seek Him right where we're at. We can simply say, I want no more, God. I don't know what this salvation looks like. But open the scriptures to me. Send somebody to help me. I believe in the Word of God. I believe every word that's written is true. So if it says it is true, it says that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, is true. I believe that. I have faith in that. And that grace and that mercy what was seen in Jesus' life, and that grace and mercy that was seen at the cross, the blood that was spilt for a sinner like me, I just give it all to you, God. I don't know what it looks like, God, but I count the cost. I know it may cost me, Mama K. I know it means a life that is different. I'm okay with that. I don't want to live my old life. I don't want to cling to my old life. I want a new life in Christ. I want my life to be new. I want a new heart in me, a passion and a desire, the blood pumping through my veins to reach those around with the gospel. Regardless how they may look at me, regardless how they may ridicule me, regardless what the cost may be, I'm all in. I'm all in. I surrender all. I give you all I have. I recognize the resurrection, and that I recognize you, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit that could come into my life. It will come in my life. I will be born again. I will have the Holy Spirit living inside me, and nothing of my own strength, but the strength of the Holy Spirit will guide me and direct me into your path. Open the scriptures. Lord, more of you and less of me. To walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.